world would I be, O Father, dead unto sin, alive unto thee. Crucify all the earthly within me. Emptied of sin and self, may I be.
Amen.
I'd like to start out the message this evening by reading a few verses as an introduction. You can turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. And we'll read verses 5 through 10. 1 John 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 24 and 25. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Some men's sins are open beforehand. Some men's sins are sent ahead to the judgment, and some they wait until the judgment day. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. With those verses in mind, I brought a box this evening. And inside this box is a secret. There's actually several secrets inside this box. Sometimes I go there and I open it up and I enjoy what's in it. Sometimes I pull it out and in secret and I handle it and I but nobody else is permitted to see inside that box. Nobody else is admitted. This is my secret. And sometimes my secret starts to just kind of show itself a little bit, but I stuff it back in because it's not anybody else's business. It's my secret. And sometimes maybe somebody gets a little too close to my secret and I just put it out of the way. Maybe I put up a barrier because it's mine. It's my private business. I don't want anybody else to know what's in here. And I don't even want to go there often, but sometimes I just find myself going back there. And then sometimes I wish somebody could see what's in there, that somebody would know about it, but I'm afraid to. And so sometimes maybe I even wrap it up with wrapping paper and make it pretty on the outside. What's inside this box? No. I don't want you to see it. Because while maybe in secret I enjoy it, There's a shame attached to it. And I don't want anybody to see that. I don't want anybody to know that. What would they think? And so I go on with life trying to hide my secret and keep it hidden. And it's hard because sometimes it kind of shows through and things just kind of come out a little bit, and you know, just, and we just stuff it back in there. And we put our guards up again. Because somehow it doesn't feel safe to let somebody else know my secret. And it could be an unforgiving spirit. It could be bitterness. It could be pride. It could be a whole host of things. But sometimes we go there. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we go there because we enjoy it. Sometimes we go back there because we're trapped. And sometimes maybe we even pull it out for somebody to take a look at it a little bit. But we don't know if we want them to see everything. It could be music. You know, today we can so easily plug in and nobody knows what my diet is. It's my secret. It's nobody else's business. And somebody gets a little close to us and you can't see it. Could be movies, videos, TV, social connections. Could be covetousness, love of money. Could be lack of submission or rebellion against authority. You know, but I'm justified. I need this. It could be escapes from reality, coping mechanisms, fantasies, lust. And in secret, we pull it out and we derive a little pleasure from it, but it's back to shame and close it back up. Some men's sins go beforehand, others follow after. And sometimes we wish we could just open this up and say, if somebody could just help me with this, because I don't like having a secret like this. But maybe I'm too proud, because I want to hold control of my life, and what will people think? Because while I derive a little pleasure here, it's really not that pretty. While we derive a certain level of satisfaction at the moment, it's empty and it's shameful. I can't let anybody know about this. I'm like, nobody else struggles with this. That's how we go throughout life. Because it's embarrassing. It's just, nobody can, you know, my friends don't struggle with this. What would they think? Or maybe we say, yeah, but life isn't treating me well. You know, it's just, it's not fair. I deserve a little bit. I deserve a little bit of pleasure. And we tuck it away. And then we get it out every now and then when life is rough. And, you know, I can justify this because it's my parents or it's my church leaders or it's my friends or it's the people that criticize me. And so life hurts. And we go back and get a little comfort from this. And yet we don't want it. And yet we go back. You know, maybe I should give this over to God. But what's God going to ask of me? I don't know if I can. So we wrap it back up again. We tuck it away. And we try to close it up, and we're just afraid. What's God going to ask of me? Can I really give this? Because I know it's not that pretty inside. It's pretty ugly inside. Can I give this? Can I walk in the light? And yet, and I still like it because I can pull it out every now and then and just enjoy it. But what effect does this have on my life? You know, I walk around in fear that somebody's going to find me out. Somebody's going to find out the real me. Someday, somebody might. Someday, a little bit more of this might slip out than I want it to. Stuff it back in. But I live in constant. I have to be on edge. I have to be on guard. Keep my guards up. I live in that bondage of a false front. Need to keep relationships superficial. Hi, how are you? Well, I'm doing fine. How are things going? Well, pretty good. But it's not going the greatest because this thing keeps trying to pop out. And I know that there's secrets in here that I don't want to come out. And so we've got to keep everybody at arm's length. Can't afford to let somebody get close to me because they might actually see inside. And we degenerate rather than grow. And we wonder, why can't I grow in the Christian life? Why can't I have that closeness with God? Why can't I feel comfortable around my brothers and sisters? Well, this thing just keeps getting in the way, and we trip over it sometimes, and we got to constantly be guarding this thing. I can't let it go. I can't let it out of my sight. Somebody might see inside. Or God might ask something too big of me. He wants this thing. Then we have the negative effect that it has on others. You know, sometimes our secrets affect innocent people, affect other people. Achan is a story. It's very clear of a clear example of that. You have Achan who took his secret and guarded it. But 30-some men died in the next battle. You know, there was effects. There was a negative effect in his, let's say, brotherhood because of his hidden secret. We don't have any record that they knew anything about the secret. Maybe they did. I tend to think they probably didn't, that they were probably innocent people who died and suffered. We We become experts at excusing ourselves, maybe even accusing others. Somebody wants to help us, and they see a little bit of this secret poking out. And they say, "Brother, I've got a concern. You got a bigger box than I do. What are you coming to me about?" This isn't so bad. And we can despair of the Christian life because this is a burden. This box becomes a tremendous burden in our lives. And it drags us down day after day after day, week after week. And you know, after a while, this box is chained to us, or we're chained to it. And it's there. It's always there. We can't get rid of it. We're captives, enslaved to our addiction, to our secret. We read in 1 John, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The secret is in the dark. The light isn't shining in there. Because I don't let it shine in there. Because I don't want it exposed. Because I like it. Or maybe I don't like it, but I'm afraid to expose it. I'm too proud to expose it. I'm too embarrassed to. I don't know what it's going to cost me to expose it. And it's not pretty, even if I find myself drawn back to it over and over and over. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we keep this wrapped up tight, hidden away, we walk in darkness. And we lie and do not the truth. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But God says, if we confess our sins, and if we walk in the light, and God keeps saying to us, give this to me. Open it up. Let me see it. Let me have it. Get it out in the open. Like I say, sometimes we maybe start to, maybe we say, okay, here it is. You can see this much. You can have this much. No, it's not pretty, but now maybe I'll feel better. And so that's out, but there's still part of it that I need to reserve some. You know, I just can't let everybody else in. But this is my, yeah, I can give this up. And maybe we ease our conscience a little bit, but then we find ourselves going back to, because there's more behind that. But God keeps working and keeps working. He says, let me have it. Get it out in the open. And we wrestle with that. But you know, if we say, no, I just got to put it back in there and I just can't do it. We continue to go on and on and on with those same effects. And worse, because it just continually drags us down and then we start adding more and more to it. But if we can just say, God, take it. It's ugly. There's nothing there. And then we wonder, why did I like that so much? And God says, get it out in the open. And again, we wonder, why was it so attractive? If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, God calls each of us to open this up. He calls us to just spread it out. Dirty as it is, doesn't matter. Bring it out. Bring it out into the open. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. In some men, they follow after. You know, sooner or later, this is all going to come out. Sooner or later, it will come out. Some of us choose to voluntarily bring it out and send it on ahead, ship it express post to judgment. And some of us choose to just keep it boxed up and carry it with us till the judgment. Second Chronicles 7. I don't know your hearts tonight. I don't know if there's anybody carrying one of these with them here tonight. God does. And I will tell you, if you are carrying it, it's not worth it. The answer is to get it out in the open. And then you will wonder, why did I ever think it so attractive? Why did I ever hang on to it so long? Why did I ever carry this for so many weeks or months or years? Second Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Just a couple of thoughts there. First step is humility. Getting to the point where, you know, God knows about this anyway, and I just need to humble my pride and let other people know about it too. I just need to turn that over, humble themselves, and repent, pray, seek my face, and repent, turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. And we read 1 John 1, walking in the light. Walking in the light is an open box. It's letting the light shine in. It's letting God pull them out and exposing them for what they are. That's walking in the light. And yes, it's even letting My brothers and my sisters know what has been in my box. Walking in the light, walking in darkness, there's a lack of transparency. It's kicking the lid on. But walking in the light is walking with an open book. I need help in this. I've been giving in to these pleasures. I've been allowing myself a lot of liberty. I need help. Pray for me. It's allowing ourselves to have deeper relationships, real relationships, instead of just superficial. In verse 9 of 1 John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We experience forgiveness and the peace that comes with that. Complete forgiveness. John 8:32 is such a beautiful verse. Verse 31, Jesus said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Freedom. The truth cuts those chains that bind us to these sinful habits, sinful actions. The truth shall make you free. And if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Real freedom. Real freedom is not just doing what I want. It's not just being my own boss. That's not real freedom. And I think sometimes, especially young people, we can feel that way. If I could just make my own decisions, I could be free. Now, freedom is found in knowing the truth, in being open to the truth in our lives. That's where freedom is found, in Jesus Christ. Luke 5, where Jesus quoted the passage from Isaiah. Luke 4. Luke 4, verse 18, again, I think some of the most beautiful words of the Bible. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus came to preach deliverance to the captives. And who are we captives to? Yes, we're captives to the devil. We're captives to ourselves, to our own carnal nature. To preach deliverance, to give recovering of sight to the blind. See, when we have this secret, there's a certain amount of blindness that we carry with us. This clouds our spiritual vision. This clouds the way we look at life. This clouds our reactions. There's a certain level of blindness that we cannot see clearly, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Ephesians 4. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I believe this word speaking I think it could have several potential translations, but speaking is one of them, and that is a very beautiful word picture, speaking the truth and love together. But I believe there's also an aspect of this that it's also, can I say, living the truth in love, expressing the truth, not only just verbal speaking, living the truth. We can grow up. We can grow spiritually when we know the truth, when we're walking in the light, when it's all out in the open. Then growth can happen. As long as this is closed up and hidden away, growth isn't happening. If anything, we're degenerating. He's just continually injecting just a very small dose of poison into our lives. And that very small dose continually weakens us. Slowly weakens us. Drains our spiritual lives. James 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Confessing. Just pulling it out and letting it out and getting it out in the open brings healing. That process is painful. It requires crucifying our pride. You know, if you've ever had wounds, brush burns, road rash, if you've ever been skidding down the road and get gravel in your hands, or any wound, that dirt needs scrubbed out. And that dirt can be very painful to scrub out. It's a painful process. But you know, we submit ourselves to that because we know that it's necessary for healing. If we say, no, no, you can't touch that. That hurts. No, don't. And we tuck our hands away and we hide it and we don't want anybody to touch it because it hurts too much. What happens 3 days later? Might be hurting a whole lot worse if infection sets in and swelling. And worse. Go on to gangrene. It's just, you know, it has to come out. Confession can be very painful. Exposing this can be very painful. But confess your faults one to another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And some men, they follow after. And that is each one of us has that choice. Whether you're willing to send it ahead and give it over to Jesus Christ and let him take care of it. Or whether you choose, it's too hard. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe next week. Maybe when I'm older. But for a little while, I would like to just enjoy this. Not yet. And it's your choice. To send it beforehand or to carry it with you to judgment. And sometimes that can be such a difficult decision to make. But you know that after you make the decisions, You look back and say, why was it so hard? Why didn't I do it sooner? But it always goes back to needing to come to complete broken surrender. To get to the point where, you know, it doesn't matter who knows about this. It doesn't matter if they find out about it. I no longer care what they think about it. I'm just done with this. And I need help. I need Jesus to take this. I want to give it over. I need peace. Ezekiel 18. The whole chapter of Ezekiel 18, God is speaking to his people and saying, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The person who sins is going to pay for his sin. The father is not going to pay for his son's sins. The son is not going to pay for his father's sins. Each person is individually responsible. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Verse 4. But if his son chooses right, he shall live. But if his son chooses wrong, he shall die. Because some men send their sins beforehand, and some take them with them. And then in verse 23, just beautiful, the heart of God. Have I any pleasure it at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord? And not that he should return from his ways and live? God say, these are the conditions, but I don't have any pleasure in that you die. I don't want you to die. This is why I'm warning you. Precious in the Lord, in the sight of the Lord, are the death of his saints. But I don't have any pleasure in that the wicked die, he says. And then verse 31. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. And God's call to every one of us is, repent. Humble yourself. Open up your heart. Get rid of hidden sin. Get rid of those things. You don't have to die, he's saying. I don't want you to die. Why will you die, O house of Israel? And Israel was just stubbornly continuing on, and God just pleading with them. Why do you keep on in this path? Why will you die? Why are you choosing to die, in other words? And that's the same call to every one of us. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and others, they follow after. And that's my question this evening. Is there anyone who feels that, who has a box that hasn't been opened? Is there anyone who's been hiding that? Maybe has it all wrapped up in nice, beautiful wrapping paper. Maybe he has it all tucked away as securely as possible. It's your choice. And we all plead with you, as God does, to send your sins before to judgment. To get it out in the open and find rest, find peace, find healing. I don't know your hearts. God does. And for those whose boxes are in the open, whose lives are in the open. You're walking in the light. Let's be praying for anybody who might not be. And I would like to ask for a verse of invitation again tonight. Do you have a number?